Are you at 2 Corinthians 5? Okay. Verse 12. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our minds, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all have died. How? Through baptism. When you go down into that water, if you tried to breathe, you'd find that you would not have a great deal of life. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. If you've never concentrated on that verse, it's time, I think, as you mature, that you look, how much of my life is being lived all about me? And when you begin to see how much of your motivation is about self, and self-preservation is part of that. Yet, Jesus died so that we would come to life. Well, the kind of life that he wants for us is a life so full of grace and mercies that as we begin to see ourselves and the motivation for selfishness, it starts falling away, a little piece at a time. Just like I was sharing with you at the communion time. When the Holy Spirit releases his oil in us and the old wounds get healed, our motivation is no longer for self-preservation. Our motivation is to see others get healed. So the focus goes from me to them. Verse 16 is very important. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. What is he saying? We no longer regard anyone from a worldly point of view, meaning rationalization about how to survive will cause you to go back into the old pattern of selfishness, whatever that happens to be, however you have survived. Some survive because they use drugs. Some survive because they use people through control. Some survive because they want everyone else to change their lifestyle so that they can be a little more comfortable. And you laugh, but it's not very funny. I had a woman who was a wonderful young woman. This is many years ago. And I had counseled with her for several months, once a week. And she would come in, and this one day she comes in and she puts a piece of paper on my desk. And I began to pray and I said, what's this? She said, well, we'll talk about it in a minute. It's okay. And so I anointed her with oil and we began to pray and ask God for grace. Then she gives me her paper and on it are a list of things that I am now forbidden to speak to her about. I said, what is this? Oh, you can't talk about this subject, you can't talk about that subject, you can't ask me any questions in this area because all of those things I shut down. How long have you been doing this? Oh, I've asked my husband and he goes out of his way to make sure that I don't get irritated on any subject. I said, well, you forgot something. I'm not your husband. If he wants to be your slave, that's fine with me. But I'm not going to be your slave. I'm your counselor right now. That's all I am. I'm just a person to give you the godly advice that I'm designed to give you. Yeah, but I won't be able to function if you say certain words. I hate to tell you what I told her after that. And I said, who in God's name are you to dictate to everyone around you to keep you comfortable? I said, how in God's name have you survived this far? Well, then she begins to tell me her list of fears. I said, well, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Where's yours? Well, I'm not there yet. I says, neither am I, but I am under construction. And I allow people to be themselves. So I said, what about this kind of word? We no longer look, okay, at people from a worldly point of view. What are you doing? Are you trying to go back into a worldly control status so that everyone will bow to your dictates? And I'm not exaggerating. Well, she says, if you don't do that, she says, I will commit suicide. I said, go ahead. You're laughing, but it's not funny. A few days later, she calls me. She is on a bridge. And I'm not lying. It was 1:30 in the morning. And my wife and I are sleeping, of course. This is a normal time for sleeping for people. I'm on a bridge, Kim. And I am going to jump. I said, good. I hope they got a net for you. My wife says, you want me to go to the other phone? She says, and I'll call 911. I said, bull. Fill in the blanks. This woman will not control me by telling me that she's going to commit suicide and I'm going to bow. I said, young woman, begin to pray in the spirit. She said, I don't want to. Oh, wow. I said, oh? Are you going to bow to this desire and end up your life and then blame me? Well, that's the whole idea, she says. It's working, right? So a little bit of truth came. I said, young woman, I'm telling you right now, there are angels watching you. And I said, you will not complete this mission. And I heard click. The one that panicked was the one that was sleeping next to me. And I said, very nicely, sweetheart, be quiet. I don't want to hear it. But give me your hand and pray in the spirit, because God's angels are going to do what they needed to do. And they will complete their mission. So we prayed in the spirit for about 7 to 10 minutes, both of us out loud. And I looked at her and I said, it's time to go to sleep. Everything is done. Let's go to sleep. Of course, my wife is not going to obey me. So she couldn't go to sleep. She went in the other room and watched TV. And I rolled over. And the rest is history. 2 days go by. We have a service on a Friday night. The young woman on the phone gets up, goes to the front. I want to share with you that God's angels were on the job a couple of days ago. She says, I was on the phone with somebody and they told me angels were coming around me. And she says, a police officer wanted to know what I was doing on the bridge at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he drove me home. What am I saying? Don't look at the worldly point of view. Because if you're looking at the worldly point of view, you would have never spoken those words. But you see, God had prepared me many years before with a suicidal mom. My mother was under that same anointing for 17 years. So I knew what that spirit wanted to do. Ephesians 6:12 says, your battle is not against flesh and blood. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. No longer worldly point of views are good enough for you. Worldly point of views are fine for the hospital ward. They're fine for the mental institution, but they're not good enough for the church. And if you're functioning from a worldly point of view, cut it out. Change it. Grow up. You know, selfish motivation is going to destroy you. So it's time to get rid of it. If you are being stretched right now, and many of you are, you're being stretched to let go of the old and to grab on to the realm of the Spirit and to grab on that God's angels are on the job to take you higher than you've been before. It's not all about complaining about how ugly circumstances are. It's how much crucifixion is it going to take before you wake up and say, God, finish this and do it for me. My sister shared 40 years she'd been praying. She didn't quit. She kept knocking on the door. And God did it. 16 again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you are in the anointing, he is a new creation. That includes she. So if you're a new creation, you don't react like the world does. You don't call 911 right away. You call on the name that is above every name. Lord Jesus, what do I do with this person? How do I respond? How do I react? Don't go by your brains. It's not good enough. The churches are full of people with brain power. Tell me what they're doing. What are they doing? The Moose Club can do equal. Manipulating, yes. And the Moose Club, I'm not picking on the Moose Club, but you understand? They're not the Holy Ghost. They're the Holy Moose. Don't do it. Don't go there. You understand? We could have picnics, we could have this, and we could have that. Why are we here? We're here to grow up and mature in Christ. We are new creations. The old has gone as far as the scripture is concerned, right? Look at it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's in the anointing. He is a new creation. The old has gone. Is that what your Bible says? If the old is gone, what has come? The new has come. Right? So what you were is not good enough for tomorrow. What you were will bring death. What you are becoming will bring what?
Life.
Amen. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through the anointing. I'm using anointing instead of Christ because some people think it's Jesus' last name. Sorry. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. In that anointing, all things are made new. Let's go back again to 19. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Let's take a moment. When you and I, in the old covenant, were constantly looking at our sins, guilt was a constant nagging thought pattern. Can anybody relate? Put your hand up if you can relate. Thank you. You're no longer there. Why? He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you in Christ, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him. Who? Who did he make? Jesus. So I would say, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We might become I would say, is a reality already. You have become the righteousness of God. Now, if you are righteous in your own eyes, the guilt system no longer has any power. It goes beneath your feet where it belongs. Then you're no longer going to be trying to victimize yourself. How many know that you can victimize yourself? You're going to try to manipulate everybody to make sure that no one will harm little old me. Well, God is trying to get rid of that little old me. Okay? That was the old man. That's Adam. He wants everybody around him, including his wife, to take the blame. Go back to Genesis. Check it out. My wife's fault. Should have never gave her to me. Okay? Now, ladies, I'm sorry, but, you know, the whole idea was that God was trying to test them, and they failed. And he knew that they would fail. So it's not all about, oh, the woman. It's about the man who didn't stand up. He didn't do what he was told to do. He didn't protect her. If you go to Ephesians 5, check out what a man's job is. It's not a dictating situation. It's looking at what the plan of God is. All of us are to intercede for each other. We're to pray for one another that we may be healed. When I prayed for the lady that was 80-something years old, God healed her. She came out of her bed after 2 years. Why? Because somebody wasn't selfish. And I'm not blaming me. I'm telling you, you all have the same commission. You're ambassadors. Are you not? Are you an ambassador? Yes. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're an ambassador. Yes. You've been officially proclaimed. Yes. By the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. You're an ambassador.
You're an ambassador.
To reconcile.
To reconcile.
Those that are broken.
Back to their creator.
Jesus paid the price.
Jesus paid the price.
In full.
In full.
And he wiped away your sin.
So get over it.
You're not sinful anymore. You're not making mistakes on purpose anymore.
God is working on
you. And he's working on me.
And I am a new creation.
For his glory. And P.S.
I'm not going to be looking at you
from a worldly point of view.
That's done.
With God's help.
Unless you irritate me, of course.
Well, you didn't have to add that if you didn't want to.
I know.
Are you catching on where I'm getting at?
Yes.
Either you are a new creation and you live in the realm of the Spirit, which is what Jesus did, or you go back to home and you react the same way you did yesterday and want everybody to be coordinated so that they don't irritate Mr. or Madam.
That's what that young lady wanted me to do, and I would not do it.
What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that living life in Christ, in the anointing, is a growing up process. I am saying to you that there may be seasons that you need extra help. If you do, cry out to the Lord and he'll appoint someone to intercede for you. You may never know the person who will intercede for you. And you don't need to know it, because you probably go over there and kiss their hand or something. It's not the point. The point is, as you mature, as you realize who you are in the anointed of God, you're a corporate body coordinated by the head, which is Christ. And his plan is to make you special. You may not always feel special. You may feel that you've been picked on all your life. And by the way, I'm not taking away from the point that this woman had definitely been persecuted and very badly treated. But it wasn't my job to babysit her either.
My job was to get her to grow up. Okay? So bow your heads, please.
Father, I thank you that this word will go into their hearts with your grace, and that you will bring it back in the days ahead so that they can be definitely maturing in Christ as God has planned. In Jesus' name.